Tagaka frowned and drew her sword. The metal hissed against the scabbard. She wanted Kyoshi to feel cold death sliding between her ribs instead of being snuffed out quickly by water. Kyoshi stood her ground. "Give me the avatar," she repeated, "or I will put you down like the beast you are." Tagaka spread her arms wide, telling her to look around them at the field of ice they were standing on. "With what, little girl from the Earth Kingdom?" she asked. "With what?" It was a good question, one that Kyoshi knew she couldn't have answered herself. But she was suddenly gripped with the overwhelming sensation that right now, in her time of desperate need, her voice wouldn't be alone. Her hands felt guided. She didn't fully understand, nor was she completely in control. But she trusted. Kyoshi braced her stomach, filled her lungs, and slammed her feet into the crowding bridge stance. Echoes of power rippled from her movement, hundredfold iterations of herself stamping on the ice. She was somehow both leading and being led by an army of benders. A column of gray stone seafloor exploded up from the surface of the ocean. It caught the hull of Tagaka's cutter and listed the ship to the side, tearing wooden planks off the frame as easily as paper off a kite. A wave of displaced water swept over the iceberg, knocking pirates off their feet and smashing crates to splinters. Out of self-preservation, Tagaka reflexively raised a waist-high wall of ice, damming and diverting the surge. But the barrier protected Kyoshi as well, giving her time to attack again. She leaped straight into the air and landed with her fists on the ice. Farther out, the sea boiled. Screams came from the lead warships as more crags of basalt rose in their path. The bowsprits of the vessels that couldn't turn in time snapped like twigs. The groan of timber shattering against rock filled the air, as hideous as a chorus of wounded animals. Kyoshi dropped to her knees, panting and heaving. She'd meant to keep going, to bring the earth close enough to defend herself, but the effort had immediately sapped her to the point where she could barely raise her head. Tagaka turned around. Her face, so controlled over the past 2 days, spasmed in every direction. "What in the name of the spirits?" she whispered as she flipped her gen over for a downward stab. The speed at which Tagaka moved to kill her made it clear that she'd be fine living without an answer. "Kyoshi, stay low!" Kyoshi instinctively obeyed Rangi's voice and flattened herself out. She heard and felt the scorch of a fire blast travel over her, knocking Tagaka away. With a mighty roar, Peng Peng strafed the iceberg, Rangi and Heiran blasting flame from the bison's left and right, scattering the pirates as they attempted to regroup. Genju handled Peng Peng's reins with the skill of an air nomad, spinning her around for perfectly aimed tail shots of wind that drove away clouds of arrows and thrown spears. Kyoshi had no idea how they'd escaped the ice, but if any three people had the power and resourcefulness to pull it off, it was them. The fight wasn't over. Some of Tagaka's fleet had made it past Kyoshi's obstacles, and from the nearby sinking ships, a few waterbenders declined to panic like their fellows. They dove into the water instead, generating high-speed waves that carried them toward Tagaka, her elite guard coming to rescue her. Rangi and Heiran jumped down and barraged the pirate queen with flame that she was forced to block with sheets of water. Rangi's face was covered in blood, and her mother had only one good arm, but they fought in perfect coordination, leaving Tagaka no gaps to mount an offense. "We'll handle the waterbenders," Heiran shouted over her shoulder. "Stop the ships!" Genju took a look at the stone monoliths that Kyoshi had raised from the seafloor, and then at her. In the heat of battle, he chose to pause. He stared hard at Kyoshi, almost as if he were doing sums in his head. "Genju!" Heiran screamed. He snapped out of his haze and took Peng Peng back up. They flew toward the nearest formation of stone. Without warning, Genju let go of the reins and jumped off the bison in midair. Kyoshi thought he'd gone mad. He proved her wrong. She'd never seen Genju earthbend before, had only heard Yun and the staff describe his personal style as different. Unusual. More like a lion dance at the new year, Auntie Mui once said, fanning herself with a dreamy smile on her face. Stable below and wild on top. He hadn't been able to earthbend on the iceberg, but now Kyoshi had provided him with all of his element that he needed. As Genju fell, flat panes of stone peeled off the crag and flew up to meet him. They arranged themselves into a manic architectural construction with broad daylight showing through the triangular gaps, a steep ramp that he landed on without losing his momentum. He sprinted toward the escaping ships in a direction he had no room to go. But as he ran, his arms coiled and whipped around him like they had minds of their own. He flicked his fists using minute twists of his waist, and countless sheets of rock fastened themselves into a bridge under his feet. Genju never broke stride as he traveled on thin air, suspended by his on-the-fly earthworks. Fire blasts and water spouts shot up from the benders manning the ships. Genju nimbly leaped and slid over them. The ones aimed at the stone itself did surprisingly little damage, as the structure was composed of chaotic, redundant braces. He raced ahead of the lead ship, crossing its path with his bridge. Right as Kyoshi thought he'd extended too far, that he'd run out of stone and thinned his support beyond what it could hold, he leaped to safety, landing on top of a nearby ice floe. The precarious, unnatural assembly began to crumble without Janju's bending to keep it up. First, the individual pieces began to flake off. Chunks of falling rocks bombarded the lead ship from high above, sending the crew members diving for cover as the wooden deck punctured like leather before an awl. But their suffering had only begun. The base of the bridge simply let itself go, bringing the entire line of stone down across the prow. The ship's aft was levered out of the waterline, exposing the rudder and barnacled keel. The rest of the squadron didn't have time to turn. One follower angled away from the disaster. It managed to avoid crashing its hull, but the change of direction caused the vessel to tilt sharply to the side. The tip of its rigging caught on the wreckage, and then the ship was beheaded of its masts and sails, the wooden pillars snapped off, a child's toy breaking at its weakest points. The last remaining warship bringing up the rear might have made it out, assuming some dazzling feat of heroic seamanship. Instead, it wisely decided to drop anchor and call it quits. If Tagaka's power was in her fleet, then the Avatar's companions had destroyed it. Now they just had to live long enough to claim their victory.
"You did good, kid," said a man with a husky voice and an accent like Master Amok's. "They'll be telling stories about this for a long time."
Kyoshi spun around, afraid a pirate had gotten the drop on her, but there was no one there. The motion made her dizzy. Too dizzy. She sank to her knees, a drawn-out, lengthy process, and slumped onto the ice.